Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2016, and this is hour one of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We are convinced the checks and balances inspired by the founders put in place are designed to protect our republic. And you know what? We don't need a revolution, but a restoration for the greatest country on the face of the earth is in order, and the checks and balances used by a good, honest, moral people jealously guarding their liberty is the answer indeed. Normally, we do a recap of the previous broadcast. We're going to forego that today. In the interest of time, I'll save the notes. We'll talk about it soon. We talk about so many topics. It's worth a recap to show how relevant they are even days later is the reason we do it. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had an absolutely fantastic weekend. Kirk Crosby's in the house in the studio with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton's clearly afraid to come on the air with us. Donald Trump Sr., you know, he'll take on the mainstream press as long as it's within their parameters. But he's afraid to come on with us as well. My open letter to Donald Trump completely still ignored. Tragic, to say the least. We tried to interview other constitutionally, less than viable, I guess, because they're out of the race now, presidential candidates. Rand Paul, who, again, said he was too busy for us. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. Neither of them are even constitutionally qualified to be president. But nevertheless, they certainly were a little bit too busy as well. So it's kind of interesting. You can tell who's who, I would say, by the company they keep, by their willingness to spend time with the people of the United States of America. You know what? Is it just the elitists that spend time compromised by the White House? Or are we talking about a real independent press? That's kind of the question of the day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've interviewed Chuck Baldwin and many others from third-party candidacies, and a lot of people debate whether they're viable or not. I maintain they are viable. There's two reasons you run for office. One's obviously to get elected. But the second reason, I believe even more important than the first, especially when we've gone so far adrift, we've lost our way, as many people put it, is to educate, educate, educate. We're gaining a lot of ground in that regard. I mean, even the big boys, even the inside Republicans started to tell you how viable a third party was. When they felt like they might not have any other alternative, right? They finally admit it. The cat's out of the bag. They're agreeing with us how viable. And really, we understand now, since the insiders have taken control, the Republicrats, you know what? A second party might be in order. Well, the Constitution Party has been my favorite, for obvious reasons, for a long time. I am a member of the Constitution Party and appreciate their stand for morality, for integrity, and for the principles that made America great. If we're going to make America great again, maybe starting with the Constitution, the supreme law, the checks and balances would be a good start. A man with his heart in doing just that is running for president of the United States. His name, Darrell Castle. The ticket, third party Constitution Party ticket. Darrell, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thank you, Sam. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, just a quick summary of you as a person. First, you grew up in Tennessee, right?
I did, yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I've been married to the same woman for 38 years. And
congratulations,
have
one daughter.
Sir. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband. That's my family.
All right. Now, you grew up and went to school in Tennessee and became an attorney, right?
That is right. I grew up in on a small farm in East Tennessee, and then after I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to law school at the University of Memphis, and that's where I've lived the rest of my life.
Now, there's a big scandal about Donald Trump. He promised to raise a bunch of money for the veterans when he skipped that one debate. Obviously, now there's a debate of how much money he really did raise and how much money they really got. And it goes on and on and on like a reality TV show. However, you came out of the veteran, or you came out of the military as a veteran, having a different attitude about war than most Americans think, right?
Well, I certainly had a different attitude about it. When I went into the Marine Corps, I was a true believer. That's why I did it. I bought into what I had been sold my young life, and I found out that everything was not as it seemed, and that the world was different than what I thought it was. And I certainly saw and did some things that I thought we need to be very, very careful before we engage in that kind of behavior again.
I bring that up because one of the things as presidential candidate to do is educate the people. And whenever you see clear guidance in the mainstream press about what they intend to do, and how you would do things differently, founding father-esque is what I would call it, we want to point that out. Now, Barack just released two headlines at the same time, which I find contradictory at best. The first one says that Barack Obama ends U.S. arms embargo on Vietnam. They call it a former enemy in USA Today, and they say, you know what? They released the arms embargo, which means we're going to start being an arms dealer to Vietnam, okay? At the same time as we're going to now become an arms dealer to the former enemy, says USA Today, Obama announces the Peace Corps coming to Vietnam for the first time, ABC News. I don't know about you, but it seems contradictory to me at best, sir.
Well, it is contradictory. He likes to hedge his bets, I guess. But we're an arms dealer to a lot of people. You know, the Democrats make me very nervous. I mean, Hillary would seem to me to be the most likely World War III candidate. And involving ourselves in that dispute between China and the other countries over there is a good way to do it. It just it makes no sense. It only makes sense if you have some sinister goal, I guess.
One of the greatest, in my opinion, military generals and leaders in the world was George Washington. He had a foreign policy that said, you know what, let's defend America big time. Let's defend our borders. Let's stand up for protecting life, liberty, and property. But you know what? Let's avoid foreign entanglements. We're not isolationists, as they would lie and charge. But we do want to simply reward countries that have peace and freedom and prosperity. We want to use our economy as a great guidance tool to make a difference. And we want to basically have appropriate diplomatic relations with everybody and avoid foreign entanglements. What about an idea like that?
Sounds like a pretty good one. It is interesting that we say we cannot protect our own borders. Now we admit we don't even want to, but, you know, we're constantly involving ourselves in disputes on the other side of the world that eventually are going to lead to war, and we're going to be right in the middle of it. But yes, the words of Washington ring down through the ages, and they're probably more true now than they were in his day.
All right. One of the key components to your campaign, and I absolutely 1,000% agree, would be, you know what? You would withdraw us from the United Nations. Part of your campaign is to explain why that's necessary, sir.
Well, that's right. I did a podcast about it. I felt like if I was going to make a statement like that, I should at least explain to people why I felt that way. And in that podcast, I said that one of my primary goals would be to help America become a free and independent nation again and chart its own course in the world rather than just being part of a collective of nations, most of which hate us, most of which are headed toward world taxation and solving all these global problems that we have now by taxing the American people and overburdening them and so forth. And plus, it's one of the world's great depopulation centers at the UN, and it supersedes our Constitution by telling us that we're supposed to disarm ourselves. All those things, I think we would be far better off if we just went our own way and charted our course as free people. We're less, we're more isolated in the UN than we are outside the UN because of the situation that exists there and the fact that our course is charted by other people. So I'd be in favor of leaving it.
It's something that might not happen overnight. That's one of the things that our enemies charge against us is our proposals to return to the Constitution. They say, man, you'd just destroy the country. You'd make all these crazy changes overnight, and it'll just be a disaster. The truth is you wisely say that, hey, start the process.
That is correct.
This is an issue that is not a single event, rather a series of moves that might take several years to accomplish, but yet would be the answer. Daryl Castle with us, ladies and gentlemen, presidential candidate on the Constitution Party, castle2016.com, his website. We'll tell you more in seconds on your favorite talk station.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live riding shotgun today as presidential candidate on the third party Constitution Party ticket, Daryl Castle. Ladies and gentlemen, his website is Castle, C-A-S-T-L-E, castle2016.com to check out his position papers, interviews that he's done, who he is, and more. Mr. Castle, ladies and gentlemen, is a Memphis area attorney and a Vietnam War veteran. We're talking about defending Western civilization. We're talking about charting America's course as free and independent people. Now, Daryl Castle, presidential candidate, constitutionparty.com, will be speaking tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. I guess he's been invited to speak to the Campaign for Liberty people in Tennessee. Tonight it'll be at 6:30 p.m. at Jason's Deli in Memphis. I'll put the address in the notes. And we're talking about war. Obama wants to open up the Peace Corps to Vietnam. At the same time, he wants to become an arms dealer to Vietnam. But you know what? Daryl Castle wants a withdrawal from the United Nations. He's explaining on the campaign trail why this is necessary. He wants to take a non-interventionist approach to foreign policy. Mr. Castle, that's George Washington-esque, is it not?
Well, I appreciate you saying that and putting me in the company of George Washington. I think of myself as kind of a mind your own business type of person. And obviously, if I saw that, you know, there's a strategic threat to the United States out there as president, I would have to act. But so many times, we just go around the world making problems worse, making more and more enemies, selling our weapons, involving ourselves in every dispute out there, and we need to stop doing that.
And then the only charge the mainstream press comes back because they don't understand constitutional appropriate behavior. They don't understand diplomatic approaches and solutions of peace by avoiding foreign entanglements. They'd come back and say, well, you're just an isolationist, right?
Well, that's what they say. But if you really think about it, the country that we are starting to confront in the Far East, China, no one accuses China of being isolationist, and yet they didn't invade Libya, they didn't invade Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. They don't have troops stationed in 130 countries around the world, but they're not isolationists. They trade with everybody. I'm not defending them. I wouldn't want to be put in that position. I'm just saying that far from being isolationist, no one really thinks that in this interconnected world today that we can be isolated. The absence of war is peace, not isolation.
I think that's the most critical point. The absence of war is peace, not isolation, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what the Constitution calls for. The protection of life, liberty, and property. All right, so you take a non-interventionist approach to foreign policy. That's critical when everybody else is kind of hawkish, running around, telling you how they'd get hostile with everybody. I think a peaceful, humble foreign policy is the answer from the leader of the free world. Wouldn't that be, ladies and gentlemen, in your opinion? All right, you'd start the process to end the Federal Reserve and return the United States to a constitutional monetary system. This one's critical. You say you would return to fiscal sanity and solvency. You'd bring spending under control, pay down the debt. Man, this stuff's unheard of, sir.
Well, it is unheard of, but it should be heard of. Sooner or later, it's going to be forced on us, and I propose to start the process of doing it before that happens.
Now, I think it's fascinating when you say that because Ron Paul, they used to mock him and laugh at him and... But yet, you know what? When he took to the stage, people resonated with that viewpoint big time. He got way more play than they thought he would. Now it's mainstream talk almost. Now it's not legitimately acted upon, but they don't ridicule it like they once did. We're making serious ground, sir.
Well, maybe so. I think the elite that are really in charge would be desperately afraid of a non-Keynesian world. I mean, a world where we couldn't just create as much money as we need to do whatever we want to do, because that would be limited. And who wants to be limited? No politician certainly wants to be told that he has to restrain himself and has to ask the question from time to time, how will we pay for this?
But if you want to take us out of immoral, unconstitutional, ungodly wars, you would start by limiting the money supply to constitutional realities based on asset currency, gold and silver, because that would put a check on their belligerent warmongering in the first place, right?
That is exactly right. If you really think about it, if there's no Federal Reserve, there's probably no invasion of Iraq. And if there's no invasion of Iraq, there's probably no ISIS. And if there's no ISIS, there's probably no migrant millions swarming into Europe and into the United States. There's probably no invasion of Libya, no invasion of Syria, because the Federal Reserve allows us to pay for all those things, all that mischief. If we just had to ask ourselves, who's going to pay for this? We're going to have to raise taxes to a level that people will not accept. the Federal Reserve allows all those things to happen.
Not only does it allow all those things to happen, it allows us to have this continued drumbeat for war as we have, nation building around the world, intervention at every turn. We're in over 130 nations plus, militarily speaking. What do we spend? Well over $500 billion on warmongering every single year. None of it benefits the American people. It doesn't protect our borders. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but it seems like to me a common sense start, a solution that everybody should agree with. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle someone is deceived on. The reality is that's an American principle, sir, and party has nothing to do with it.
Well, that's true, but what you find is that so many people on each side of the political spectrum, on the Democrat side or the Republican side, they don't want the process to end. They just want to be able to use the process to their benefit, to do things that they think need to be done or they would like to have done, and they can't do that without an unlimited supply of money.
All right. Now, I find this fascinating. In your campaign goals, if you will, things that you would do, in addition to returning to fiscal sanity and solvency and getting out of debt, you would start the process of closing down all on unconstitutional agencies of the federal government. Now, here's what's interesting. Whenever they have a meltdown and shut down government, and the media has a heyday with this, they say, well, we've got to draw the line between essential and non-essential services. I submit to you that's a huge lie, Daryl Castle. What we need to do is look at constitutional obligations and unconstitutional deceptions and draw the line and say, well, fund everything constitutional and everything not constitutional. Not only are we going to temporarily suspend it, we're going to suspend it completely. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, part of our pitch in the Constitution Party has always been to hold the government to its enumerated powers as set out in the Article 1, Section 8. There are only 17 of them, so if we close down every agency that's not constitutional, that would be most of them, and that's for sure.
Now, a lot of people would say, well, that just means you guys are going to crash the plane, and my response is no. We're going to realize that we cannot fly the plane without fuel. We can't fly the plane with one engine not working. We can't operate under current conditions. What we're going to do is appropriately, slowly, do our very best to land the plane as safely as we can. And yes, it's going to take a lot of intestinal fortitude. It's going to take a lot of courage. But you know what? We're going to start the process. First, we're going to audit the Federal Reserve. Secondly, we're going to open the discussion to competing currencies. We're going to freeze programs at their current levels. We're going to let sunset provisions happen so that things expire, congressionally speaking. We're not going to do it all at once, sir, but it's going to be a process, right?
That is correct. If you tried to do those things all at once, you might provoke revolution or something. That's certainly not my goal, but it would be to show people that life would be so much better if we just followed the law and the Constitution as we did up until about 1913.
And that's when the Federal Reserve took hold, ladies and gentlemen. Castle 2016, to learn more about his positions, to read in detail. If you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area, tonight, 6:30, Jason's Deli. You'll be able to meet Daryl Castle in person, hear him speak, shake his hand, and more. We're talking about solutions, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Constitution Party. Daryl Castle, presidential candidate on that ticket. We'll talk in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
On college campuses, young women are being conditioned to regard the use of supposedly sexist language or exposure to stereotypical depictions of female beauty as triggering events. That is one facet of the progressive mindset. Another facet was displayed by a recent editorial published by the Charlotte Observer newspaper that treats the reluctance of young women to be exposed to male genitalia in integrated restrooms and locker rooms as a symptom of bigotry. Quote, yes, the thought of male genitalia in girls' locker rooms and vice versa might be distressing to some, conceded the editorial. But the battle for equality has always been, in part, about overcoming discomfort, with blacks sharing facilities, with gays sharing marriage, then realizing it was not nearly so awful as some people imagined. Progressives are zealous to protect what they call a privacy right to obtain an abortion, but insist that there is no privacy right for young women who want to avoid intimate exposure with male strangers in the bathroom or locker room. The Observer dismisses such complaints as a political fiction, insisting that, quote, non-transgendered men wouldn't have been allowed in women's bathrooms under the Charlotte ordinance recently struck down by the state legislature. This ignores the obvious fact that self-described transgender men are biological males and retain all of the relevant anatomy. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. The Congressional Budget Office reports that 16% of men between the ages of 18 and 24 are either unemployed or incarcerated. Among the causes mentioned in the report are changes in the workforce, such as an increase in female workers and reduced demand for unskilled labor. The Mises Institute, a free market think tank in Alabama, points out that the report made no mention of two very significant factors, the expansion of the drug war and federally dictated increases in the minimum wage. Once taken out of the workforce and saddled with a criminal record, young men are likely to remain unemployed or underemployed. The Mises Institute notes that over time, that will mean a less productive economy, and it also means those specific workers will be more likely to have to turn to public assistance during their careers, and especially later in life as they reach retirement. Young men released from prison will find fewer low-skilled entry-level jobs because of the minimum wage, which increases labor costs for the businesses that will seek less expensive alternatives, such as automation. Ending the drug war and abolishing the government-dictated minimum wage would do a great deal to improve the career and financial prospects of young men, the Mises Institute concludes. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Presidential candidate on the Constitution Party ticket, Daryl Castle riding shotgun, castle2016.com, the website. Tonight he's going to be hanging out at Jason's Deli, 6:30 p.m., speaking to Campaign for Liberty and crew. Great opportunity, in my opinion, to tell the tale of liberty and to make like-minded people join together for solutions. That's what we need more and more and more of. Third parties are more viable than ever before. Even the Republicans were thinking about going third party when they thought they might not have a chance to keep their grip and their control on our system, just showing how viable third parties are. A lot of people say you're throwing away your vote if you vote third party, and I submit to you that voting for a good, honest, moral candidate is never a throwaway vote, ladies and gentlemen. If everybody did that, we'd have a good, honest, moral leader in the White House right now, to make the point. Daryl Castle with us. We're talking about a lot of things. He's an attorney. He's a Vietnam War veteran. And he has real, clear ideas to restore the republic in the traditions of our founding fathers. He wants to defend Western civilization. He wants to chart America's course as free and independent people. Now, if you say you want to defend Western civilization, though, then start out and say, man, you're a Southern boy. You want to defend Western, you must be some kind of a racist. That's how they go when they want to derail the argument, isn't it, sir?
Well, yes. The ones who don't really understand what Western civilization is would certainly say that, but it emanates out of the Magna Carta, of course, and it contains so much of what we take for granted today, like the right to due process, the right to equal protection of the laws, the right to trial by jury, and so forth on down the line. All of those, every single one of them, is under severe threat now or already destroyed. So it's certainly worth defending.
A Judeo-Christian ethic. A worldview of morality based on God's laws is at the center of it as well.
That is exactly right. Without God, I mean, if there's no God, a lot of things these people say is probably true. But there is a God, and he is not amused by what has been happening. At least that's what I get from my studies of it.
Amen to that. He's a supreme being. And the whole purpose or the proper role of limited government, based on the view of the founding fathers, would be to protect life, liberty, and property. That's one of the unique things that distinguish presidential candidate Darrell Castle and vice presidential candidate Scott Bradley, who will join us next hour, by the way. You guys are the most pro-life unequivocally in the debates today.
Well, yes. I have been speaking and telling people that if you've ever made a statement like, I'll never vote for a pro-abortion candidate, then I'm the only choice that you've got. But Mr. Trump, in his efforts to bring together the Republican establishment, is starting to make pro-life statements. And that list of judges that he released the other day, I think 11 judges that he would consider for the Supreme Court, they're a list of some of the more pro-life judges in the country. So he is moving, at least in his statements, he's moving that direction to try to unite the Republican Party. But at this point, I'm certainly the only person who actually is pro-life.
Well, and I appreciate the rhetoric that he delivers. At the same time, though, he's been pro-abortion for a long time. He's great friends with Hillary Clinton. I mean, they hang out at each other's weddings and such like that. I wouldn't be caught dead hanging out at Hillary's wedding, for example. It's a matter of the company you keep, sir, and the matter of historical reality of where your stance has been, right?
Well, yes, Sam, to put a cliche on it, they're all in it together, and they always have been. They're great friends, you know. It's like two lawyers who are trying a case on opposite sides of each other, and they work so hard against each other, and one lawyer doesn't care if the other person loses everything he's got because he lost that case. That's part of what he does as a lawyer. It's part of his duty. But then after it's all over with, they go down to the local bar and have a beer together, and they're great friends. These guys in politics, the same way, you know. The Clintons used to vacation with the Bushes and go to their home up in Kennebunkport. And people think they're mortal enemies, but they're not. They're great friends. It's all part of the same game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Darrell Castle doesn't hang out in Washington. Ron Paul got the Dr. No moniker for his stance against all things unconstitutional. I would submit that Darrell Castle might be Dr. Yes when it comes to all the right moves to restore the Republic and the traditions of the Founding Fathers. I know you're not really a doctor, but it's like Doc Yes when it comes to standing for the principles that could make America the greatest country in the world. It once was when we obeyed the principles, sir.
Well, yes, if I were elected, I would certainly start moving this country toward what I believe would make it a dynamic, exciting place to live again. People would be free to pursue their hopes and dreams and so forth. We would start the process of trying to bring us together and help us to understand that we're really all just one people and that we should have the same goal, and that's to live as free and independent people in the world. That would certainly be one of my goals.
I wrote an article, and I'm about to release it, called A Clarion Call for Civility. It seems to me that they want to divide us on race. They want to divide male, female. They want to divide rich, poor. They want to divide, it just goes on and on and on and on. It sounds to me like if we all stand together for the American ideal, which is the protection of life, liberty, and property, which is the promotion of God, family, and country, it seems like the divisions would go away. A more perfect union would be the result, sir.
One would hope so, yes. It seems so, as you pointed out, that what's really happening is that they're trying to destroy everything that normally united us as people and nationhood, identity of a race. Even now, we can't even have our own gender. You know, we can't even think of ourselves as male or female. So one big polyglot soup of humanity, I suppose, is what they're working for. But in America, we're supposed to be free and independent to think and feel and believe whatever we want, as long as we don't harm other people by doing it. So, yes, that's certainly a goal to work for.
All right. Now, Barack Obama sent his, in my opinion, unconstitutional guidance to government schools all across the land that said, hey, let the perverts go into whatever bathroom they want to, and it's the only fair and right and equal and honest thing to do, he claims. And One of the things that Darrell Castle, president on the Constitution Party ticket, has done is fired back basically an open letter, a challenge to that, which I support 1,000%. Obama administration's order to public schools is illegal and unconstitutional, sir. You're an attorney, right?
Yes, I am.
And if the president's doing illegal stuff, sir, we need to impeach him, don't we?
Well, yes. If it rises to the level of a high crime or misdemeanor, and that just might. I mean, if you couple it with a long, long litany of the same type of thing. But in the meantime, we can just tell him that his power is not without limits. I mean, show me where he has the authority to do that. So as a result, like an officer in the military takes an oath not to America, he takes an oath to the Constitution. And he is required by that oath to fail to follow orders that are illegal and unconstitutional. Now, rarely do people actually do that, but the governors and the legislators out there in the states just need to say, we're not going to obey you. You're not a dictator, regardless of what you may think, and you have no authority to issue such an order.
Well, and he knows he doesn't. That's why he's not saying that there'll be repercussions, except for using the carrot and the stick. He knows full well he can just deceive and withhold money. But the truth is, he doesn't have any real authority or power, and he knows it. And I would submit to you that's positive proof that he doesn't have authority to control the states.
Well, that's right. And if he, if somebody really wanted to push it and call his bluff on it, the power of the purse string would be seriously in danger if some governor wanted to say, okay, I mean, you've put all these mandates on us. If you're going to tell us that you're not going to give us the money to fulfill them, then number one, we're not going to fulfill them, and number two, we're going to cut off and sequester the money that normally flows out of this state to Washington. We think that would there would be plenty enough money here in our own state to run our own state if we didn't have to send all of it to you.
Now, I think that's a brilliant idea, and the first state that does it, I want to move to. But that's going to take a lot of intestinal fortitude, sir. That's going to take guts, right? It's going to take leadership.
I mean, it would take a governor who's willing to say, I'm going to do what's right, whether I'm reelected or whether I'm not reelected. I'm going to do the right thing as God gives me the light to see it and just let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I think people would follow that type of attitude.
I think they would, as long as we told the story appropriately and didn't reduce it to manipulated, deceptive sound bites designed to barbecue somebody, but to tell the truth. Darrell Castle with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're running out of time much faster than I want to. Darrell Castle's leadership and guidance on this transgender bathroom thing was so valuable that I took a page out of his playbook, and I wrote an article around this. My article's at libertyroundtable.com and many other places. It's called The Transgender Lie in Government Education. This is not justice, and this is not education. Liberty Roundtable continues in seconds.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use memotome.com daily and highly recommend it to you. M-E-M-O-T-O-M-E.com. Memo to Me.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Darrell Castle, presidential candidate on the Constitution Party ticket, castle2016.com, the website to learn more. On your radio, riding shotgun today, also appearing tonight in Tennessee, Jason's Deli in Memphis, Tennessee, 6:30 p.m. The event's free and open to the public. Go shake his hand, look him in the eye, and I'm telling you right now, you'll decide to vote for Darrell Castle. Several quick questions for you. I've kind of controlled everything so far, brought up a lot of things that I know relate to your campaign that are important. How do people endorse you for president, sir? What you want is a bunch of endorsements right now, right?
Right. I mean, I can go on the website that you mentioned and give us a comment. They can also contact my campaign director, who happens to be my wife. You can reach her at Joan at castle2016.com, and we will certainly show you ways that you can help us in your own area.
Joan, J-O-A-N, at right. castle2016.com.
Right.
All right, fantastic. We need volunteers. We need funding. You can do all that at the site. I mentioned that education is one of the biggest keys to run for office, sir. You know, Ron Paul, when he got on the campaign stage back in, 2008, 2012, you know, they finally had to include him in the debates and everything else. You know what? He brought the discussions to some real, real issues. That had never really in my lifetime been done before. You're going to have that opportunity as well all season long.
Well, yes, in my own way I am. If I could get 15% in the polls, of course, I would be in the main debates, and that's what Ron Paul did. They tried to marginalize him even when he was on the main stage, but it didn't work. He just had a way of appealing to all those young people out there who the idea of freedom they found appealing. But, yes, I'm going to be out there traveling across the country trying my best to educate people and to let them know why I feel the way I do.
I think it's important. One of the other things that I thought was fascinating, a lot of people say the best way to let people know who you are, Darrell Castle, is as I mentioned before in the broadcast, the company you keep. Letting people know who you would put in specific places is key. One of the key releases of the Constitution Party is not only have they named you as presidential candidate, nominated you to do so, but they put vice presidential candidate Scott Bradley with you. Then you start to fill out who you would get to get, dump the Department of Education, who you would get to be your media guy, who you would get to, and as you surround yourself with these people, you almost start electing a team, sir.
Well, that is correct, and I've given a lot of thought to who that government would be if God somehow raised me up and made me president.
It'll be important because I think a lot of people could get behind a team. The reason the mainstream press politicians are afraid to do that is because they're afraid they'd put people in that they know the people would say, wait a minute, that's incongruent. A quick example of that is, hey, Donald Trump hanging out with Chris Christie. Oh, boy, if that doesn't tell you plenty, I don't know what does. So to me, that's kind of critical. What would you say if you could talk to the American people? I brought up a lot of different items, Daryl Castle. What would you say? What would you bring up? What if you were in an open forum and they said, hey, what makes you tick, Daryl? Who are you? What do you stand for? What would you focus on? What would be your...
Well, I would tell them that the rule of law is very, very important. And it's what keeps our leaders from being dictators or having absolute power like they think they have today. There's a general feeling in the country that the leadership can do whatever it wants to do without any limits, and that is a very dangerous road to travel. So I would tell them that the rule of law in America has always been that no one is above the law's sanction, no one is beneath the law's protection. We need to reestablish that and reestablish the respect for the Constitution, understanding that it is the supreme law of the land, and it must be followed. To do anything else is dangerous and heads us down the road we're on now.
People say, you know what, you've been raised a Southern boy all your life. Is the South going to rise again?
Time will tell, I guess, but I certainly have an appeal across the South. People, I've got two speeches in Mississippi coming up next week. Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, those states appreciate my stance on morality and especially on the pro-life issue, so maybe so.
Well, and when we say the South is going to rise again, my response is, in the traditional sense of mockery, certainly not. However, in the sense of traditional time-honored values of honesty is the best policy, of a humble foreign policy, of states' rights, of the answer is absolutely.
Yes, I know that they're very attuned to the 10th Amendment in the South, and that's something that we need to start to build an understanding of people.
All right. I know you're going to be crisscrossing the country. I know a lot of the politicians meet with all kinds of groups, the American Family Association or the Family Research Council or the, you know, is your plan to meet with a lot of those groups? I think you can get a lot of like-minded Americans to join, especially when there's nobody else to vote for, sir.
Well, I would certainly speak to as many of them as would talk to me. You'd be surprised at how many of those people do not want to be seen with somebody like me. I had several old friends who were well into the establishment Republican groups, but I've known for many years through my work in politics, and they would never give me the time of day before, even though we're friends. But a few of them called me and said, you know, after Ted Cruz dropped out after Indiana, they called me and said, okay, what can I do to help now? So I wrote them back and said, told them, oh, it's good to hear from you. Let's get together. Let's set up a time we can talk, and we can talk about things you can do and how we can work together. And then when I saw that Donald Trump had sat down with Henry Kissinger and was moving to encircle all these people, I knew that would be the last time I ever heard from him, and it was.
Because they believe now that, hey, if he makes deals with Kissinger and everything else, it's going to be okay, not realizing that Henry Kissinger is one of the biggest sellouts this nation's ever seen, sir.
Yes, they believe that he's not going to disenfranchise the establishment like they thought he was. So they're circling the wagons and getting ready to accept him.
Well, if we're not careful, America's going to be circling the drain, sir. We gotta change. We gotta move towards Judeo-Christian principles. We gotta move towards morality. We gotta take the high road and stand with the supreme law. And we need to do it immediately. If we don't, we're in trouble. And I think it starts with a humble foreign policy. It starts with honest money, honest weights and measures. It starts with getting government out of education, shutting down a lot of these agencies we clearly cannot afford, finding ways to create workfare and private sector religious solutions for welfare as opposed to government handouts. It starts with appropriately protecting our borders. Hey, we want people to come who are going to be here for the right reasons and might have a sponsor. There are ways to accomplish all these tasks if you use the Blueprint for Liberty and the guidance from the Founding Fathers via the Federalist Papers and more.
Well, I'm with you, absolutely. Every step of the way, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
All right. Do you have a breakneck campaign trail, or do you think a lot of it can be done with new media? How do you think we can get the word out?
Well, it's starting to become more hectic. I've had kind of a honeymoon, I guess you could say, before the Libertarian Convention, which is next weekend, I think, when they didn't have a full candidate selected. But, yes, I mean, I can use all the help I can get. I can certainly use funds, and I can use ideas, and I can use people's labor and their mental and physical energies. They can contact us on our website anytime they want to do that. If they want to set up groups for me to come and speak to, or if they want to help us in some other way, we'd be more than happy to talk to them.
Castle2016.com. Now, the Libertarians just melted down. As far as I understand, Gary Johnson just picked a globalist to be his VP pick. So, wow, that isn't the direction to go, is it?
Well, that is who he picked. You're absolutely right. And, of course, he has some competition for the nomination, but I doubt if that competition will prevail. So, in one sense, that's it's good for me that he picked that person because it helps me differentiate us. But on the other hand, I would certainly prefer that the Libertarians go a different direction.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to start with leadership. We got to start with morality. We got to start with a person who says, I'm a Christian and I'm a constitutionalist and I will not back down from my stance. I submit to you, that is currently Daryl Castle. Castle2016.com. He is running for president of the United States on the Constitution Party ticket, in my opinion, the most viable third party, really, I should say second party, in America, Daryl. Do you got a parting shot for our listeners?
Well, thank you for having me on, Sam. It's been a real pleasure. And as you said, people are known for the company they keep. I'm very proud to be in your company. And I appreciate the support of listening to me.
Last point that I got for you is you need a campaign slogan, and I think it needs to be the status quo has got to go.
That's a good one. That's for sure.
Appreciate you, sir. Godspeed. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee tonight, man, go to Jason's Deli, 6:30 p.m. Daryl Castle will be speaking, meeting, and greeting all of you. A campaign for liberty people. Great movers and shakers are putting that event together. Again, Jason's Deli, Memphis, Tennessee, tonight, 6:30. Meet Daryl Castle. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to endorse Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley. How's that? All right, let's get it done. Let's make a difference. Let's see how the new media ticket center stage can change the game. We need your help, your support, your financial involvement. We need your foot soldier involvement. And we need good, honest Americans to stand together for the sacred cause of liberty. Hopefully it was a solutions-oriented hour. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website. Castle2016.com is his. This nation shall endure.